Hello, everyone, and welcome back to our podcast, Our Two Cents, Let's Chat. And before I even ask how Vivek is doing today, I would like to start off by saying that I'm quite pissed off because we recorded this episode a week ago and all the data for it has been deleted. So here we are again having this conversation. But alas, Vivek.
I'm also quite mad. I think it was Jesus, you know. It wasn't me at all. I don't know why anyone would have that idea, but we're here and we're queer. And I don't know what I'm saying. And anyway, today's episode is about the subject of women's autonomy. And Kirthana, do you want to give a definition for that?
Sure, I would love to. So a woman's autonomy, the sort of broad definition is it's just simply the quality or state of being self-governing. And any woman should have that allowance over her body. Over her career, over her finances, over her education, over her relationships. It's as simple as that. And especially because this is so prevalent that we're seeing, I mean, it's always been prevalent since the beginning of mankind, but more recently with the attacks that we've seen in Texas and all across the US, reproductive anatomy. So, yeah.
Right. Exactly. And that's an important distinction to make, two important distinctions actually, between women's autonomy, which is basically women having jurisdiction over their own body, over their own lives. And then there's reproductive autonomy, which is obviously having jurisdiction over your reproductive system. And then the other distinction is that there's both physiological and physical autonomy, right? So it's, you know, relating to your body and then autonomy relating to how you lead your life. And then just one more note before we start the episode, like formally, is that we are talking about all women or anybody who, you know, is a woman presenting person or has, you know, that anatomy.
Yeah, exactly. This is an episode that's meant to be all inclusive. It's a struggle that, you know what I mean? We don't need to discriminate people further. It is already, you know what I mean? It's already worrisome enough. And also before we jump right into dissecting this entire topic, I would like to say that this episode for the AdSense for this episode will be going towards Planned Parenthood.
Just to jump right in, have you seen the Texas bill? But of course you've seen the Texas bill.
Oh, and of course. And I feel like we're almost a little late to this conversation. Maybe we're not, but it almost feels like it's been, I feel like it's all I've been seeing. I feel like it's...
Let's not forget we are an extra week late because of Jesus. But for those of you who don't know, Texas passed one of the most sweeping abortion bans that we've ever had in the U.S. It basically said after 6 weeks, it's not allowed. And, you know, a lot of people were talking about the fact that, you know, the vast, vast majority of people who get pregnant don't know that they're pregnant even before 6 weeks, excuse me. And so I believe right now they're fighting it out. Mm-hmm. Merrick Garland took the case, is taking charge of the case with the DOJ. But yeah, that's just some background on it.
Yeah. Yeah. Vivek, spot on. That's exactly where we are at with the bill. And the Supreme Court, I think, is back in session. Is it this week or is it the week after?
I feel like it's this week. I feel like we both know our AP Gov teacher would be killing us that we didn't know this, but
yeah, but it's sometime in the next 2 weeks. The Supreme Court is back in session and I'm really, really hoping that they take a look at it. I mean, I know it already went to them and it was rejected or whatever, but I know several.
First Monday in October. I'm sorry to interrupt.
First Monday. Oh yeah. So in a couple of days. Perfect. Yeah. So I'm really hoping, you know, it gets taken back into reconsideration, et cetera, et cetera. I know there's a conservative supermajority, but I feel like it's just too... Okay, give me a minute. Did you hear all of that?
Yes, I did.
Hi, Ram. Okay, let me go sit in the closet. Okay. Where I belong. Okay. I really hope there's no screaming and yelling. Where was I? So, yeah, we can just cut it, and I will say the part where I was like, okay. Yeah, so the Supreme Court, that's soon. It opens up in the next they're back in session the next couple of days. And I know there's a conservative supermajority, so things aren't looking super hopeful right now, but I'm really trying my level best not to think about it. And I'm just hoping it gets taken back into reconsideration and gets added to the pile of other cases that they have to sort of go through.
Right. Well, and it's, you know, it's important to remember that the Supreme Court is going to have a tough time on their hands if they are really going against the precedent they set in Roe v. Wade. You know, obviously, it's not easy to undo a precedent that's been, you know, judged upon for, you know, decades, right? So there is some slight hope, even though I'm sure it feels like a hopeless world for so many people out there. But yes, there is some slight hope. But I think the thing we want to talk about the most was that it's kind of, ironic is not the right word, but it's kind of, and I don't mean to, you know, sound like the white man just realizing racism and sexism exist, but it's kind of just crazy that something as basic as this, right, has been a problem for such a long time, right? Since the beginning of civilization.
Yeah, and actually even going back to your earlier point saying, like, it seems, I don't know, sort of like maybe counterproductive to go back on something that was as significant as Roe v. Wade, of course, seems like, you know, like you, that gives you some sense of hope. But in fact, that it's the complete opposite for me. It almost feels like it could unravel at any minute because of the precedent that that case set. It's almost because I think it's because that's the only thing that's holding the legality of abortion in the U.S. together. You know what I mean? That and Ruth Bader Ginsburg were the adhesive that kept abortion still legal in, you know, the few states, in the states that it was fully legal in. And it's not even like the court case that worries me. It's more so just like, women, people, anyone who can carry a child will continue getting abortions regardless. It's bottom line. That's, there you go. There's your base. Like, you can't stop people from doing that.
Right.
So.
Okay.
Sorry.
Well, that's what you're saying, right? You can't stop people from, it won't stop no matter
it
what.
It won't stop no matter what. And I hate that I even have to say this on a podcast because it's just like basic, you know what I mean? It's just general knowledge. It's common sense. It's basic information. I mean, you see things like mask mandates and all of that. Like, people refuse to put fabric over their mouths and noses just because they're like, you're violating my personal liberties, etc. Imagine telling a person to keep a child in them, a fetus in them that they don't want. They're not going to do it. It's as simple as that. You can't reverse this argument and be like, I won't wear a mask. It's a violation of my personal liberties. And then also simultaneously reverse that argument and expect, you know what I mean? If people don't want to do something, they're not going to do it. So, yeah, I don't know, man.
Right.
I'm so more worried about, like, when it comes to this,
right,
when it comes to the Supreme Court and their sort of judgment on it, I'm so worried about the access to healthcare, again, which women are disproportionately affected by, and more so women of color. And that's just, I don't know. It's all just like mind boggling to me. Right. But yeah. Also, even going back to your statement just now that it's crazy that it's been going on for so long. It is. And it just never seemed to reach a conclusion, do we? Like, it's just an issue that never seems to get the platform that it deserves, which makes no sense to me because I feel like out of every minority in the current day and age, I feel like women, like, in total is like the one, you know, minority category that's actually pushing through and breaking boundaries. But I feel like we still get the least amount of attention.
Right.
Whether it's in Congress, whether it's in state legislatures, whether it's at a school board meeting, like,
And I think it's, you know, it's shocking. Maybe we were meant to do this episode a week later. I'm kidding. Don't get mad at me. Because as many people know, today was the Women's March, right? In especially in D.C.
Yes.
That was the central one. And it was to protect Roe v. Wade, basically to express the support for holding that up. But what's really shocking is that, you know, there has to be a protest for that. Like, you know, I'm not saying like it's shocking that sexism exists. I'm more saying that in the same continuation of, you know, like it's shocking that it's been such a central issue for, like, you know, since the beginning of time, in the same way, it's so shocking that, like, despite so many people, like literally half the country saying something, no matter what, basically it's whatever's going to happen is going to be what the white men want. I mean, it's not that shocking, obviously, but
I don't know if it's that shocking, but what I also know is that I know there was a poll that went around. Mm-hmm. It was last year during the election cycle, and over 70% of the people who can vote in this country are not just pro-choice, they're pro-abortion. Think of that statistic. 70% of Americans are pro-abortion, and yet we're still debating it. That's the shocking piece to me. For a country right. that markets itself yeah. as the father of modern democracy, there you go. Like, nothing about that statistic mm-hmm. or even the Women's right. March that was, of course, you know, which was largely celebrated in D.C. particularly, but it was organized all over the country. Like, mm-hmm. that's the shocking bit to me. Like, here you see the overwhelming majority, your constituency, telling you what they want, what should, you know what I mean, what are considered basic, the right. utmost of basic human rights, and that's what we're still debating. That's the parts that that's mm-hmm. shocking to me, not the patriarchy, not all of this other stuff. I think even last week when we were having this conversation, you said right. something about the sort of percentage of rights that women have state to state. And I said, how stupid is it? How gross is it that, like, we have to, like, think, oh, this state has, like, this amount of secure rights for women. Like, name a single state or a single country, city, location in this entire world that's saying this place in this area of the world has this many rights for white men or for men at all. No one is qualifying men's rights, but women's rights are still being qualified. I mean, yeah. Like, there you go. I mean,
and that's just, I mean, that's just an example, right, of how pitiful it is, really, that it's like this.
Yeah. It's not even just, like, pitiful. It's, like, more so, it's also, like, it's, like, it's my life. You kind of get what I mean. I'm not trying to be all like, right. I'm a woman, I'm a victim, but it's like literally day-to-day life. Like, even seeing all these like news things, mm-hmm. like, oh, women, don't go here. Don't go to this park. Stay away from this area of London. Don't go to, like, you know what I mean? And it's like, people are, you know what I mean? There's sex trafficking going on here. And like, be safe here. There's people taking pictures. Like, that's crazy right. to me. It's like, why?
Like, that the onus, you mean about the onus?
I mean, yeah, of course. Exactly. Right. It's just like this thing of my security being constantly threatened. Like, I can't even go out with my friends without my mom being like, maybe we should get you a taser or something like that, which is reasonable that, like, you have to protect yourself and all of that. But I right. feel like some of the extreme measures that were being recommended to take, it's like, why are they, you know?
Why are they necessary? But literally, why are they necessary?
Exactly. Especially when I see my counterparts, for example, you know, you and any of my other friends who are guys, mm-hmm. like, we're not different in that sense, but yet you can walk around freely. Right. And I'm here being constantly told where exactly. to go and where not to go and how to dress and blah, 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 blah. It's like,
right.
It's literally daily life. Like, you wear an outfit a day and you want to go out with your friends and you literally have to think 10 times, like, am I going to get catcalled? Is someone mm-hmm. going to make a comment that I don't want, you know, to be made mm-hmm. about me? Is someone going to say something on social media? And it right. happens.
Right.
And it's insane, but it's true. Right. And it's been happening since the beginning of right. time.
Right. Right. And I think we can both think of, you know, an example, but like, not me saying that, like, about me, but like an example of something that has happened to, you know, someone we know, or something that happened to someone that we've heard of that's been completely like, you know, like, what the fuck? Like, I mean, you know what I mean? You know what I'm trying mm-hmm. to say? And mm-hmm. so it's crazy. Please, please, not the typing ASMR, please.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm kidding. Anyway, so I think one of the other topics that I forgot to mention that I really wanted to mention last week was Britney Spears, right?
I watched that documentary. Yes.
Is it any good, by the way?
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. Well, anyway, regardless of us trading our TV recommendations, so as you may know, there was, you know, a huge case with Britney Spears and her conservatorship under her father, and how for basically 13 years, people other than her were controlling her life, you know, other than her. So she was locked into the conservatorship. Mm-hmm. It was controlled by her father, Jamie, and it was since 2008. And quite frankly, she lost all of her personal autonomy. She did not control her movements. She mm-hmm. did not control her performance schedule. She didn't control her fortune of, like, I think it was $60 million, or her healthcare decisions. In fact, she lost control over her body and her ability to have children because she had an IUD that was put in and she wasn't allowed to take it out. So it was shocking to find out. It really was, you know, that it had been going on for so long. But at the same time, there was, you know, a part of us, you know, communally as a society that were like, of course, you know, not in that way, but you know what I'm trying to say?
Okay. No, I don't. You'll need to elaborate.
There was a part of a bastion of our society, if you will, that was like, if there was a problem going on, I don't even know what I'm trying to say. Okay. Let me collect my thoughts. Say something so it's not awkward.
Okay. Gosh. Yeah. I think more so what I was going to say with the Britney Spears thing is, like, the stakes are always 10 times, if not infinitely higher, with women because we are the child bearers. Mm-hmm. I was sitting in class the other day and we were talking about population, and literally we are machines. Like, the entire structure of society is standing upon us, and especially in terms of reproduction. You get what I mean? And when we go back to Britney Spears and think about how her ability to bear children was taken from her, like, could you imagine that? Could you, like, it's just, again, we are literally the structure of society. Like, I'm not saying that in, like, a high, mighty God is a woman way. I'm saying it more in the sense, like, literally nothing would work if it wasn't for our own bodily anatomies.
Right.
And I'm saying that in a quite, like, black and white way.
Right.
So when I was watching Britney Spears' documentary, I was more so like, firstly, this would never, never happen to someone like Justin Bieber. You know what I mean? He's a pop star. I would argue, I'm pretty sure, according to Spotify, like, right now at this very second, he's the number one artist in the entire world. He's screwed up a billion times. He's gotten into a bunch of legal messes. Would that ever happen to him? Would that ever happen to him? No, never in your wildest dreams would it happen to him. No one would raise a finger and say something like he's mentally, and again, this is just a hypothetical. I'm not, like, bashing Justin Bieber. Bieber fever people, don't come at me, but I'm more so saying it in the fact, like, they literally were, I don't know if it was real, and I'm not going to frame the story of her if it's not real. I'm just basing it off of what I saw in this documentary and sort of my own research that I did into her conservatorship. But this whole thing of, like, even her legal guardian, her father, her conservator, saying things like, oh, she is anxious, she is stressed out. Why are you speaking for her? Why can't she make those decisions for herself? And then what do they say? They say she's not in the mental state to make those decisions for herself.
Right.
No one would point a finger like that. Like, even if, for example, if Harry Styles or, like I said, Justin Bieber or Shawn Mendes went off the rails and started driving recklessly and doing all this shit, no one would say he's mentally unstable. They would say it's the lifestyle. The lifestyle is stressing them out. The lifestyle is making them anxious.
Right.
No one would. Exactly. That's what I mean. The stakes are always 10 times higher with women.
Right. And the sort of this Spears case was kind of the beginning of this uber tenuous state. It's always been, you know, a very tenuous thing, but the uber tenuous state of women's bodily autonomy with, you know, regards to the Supreme Court case, and the Texas law, And, you know, it prompted, you know, speeches from different public figures about their experiences with abortion or with, you know, sexual harassment or with any of this stuff. And, you know, recognizing that basically the decision that the court is going to have, because, like, as our gov teacher told us, the case is going to go back up to the court eventually. The decision that the court makes has the power to affect, you know, women or people who can get pregnant for, like, decades, for, dare I say, centuries. And so it's stunning that whether or not the court decides that, you know, the Texas law is unconstitutional, or whether they decide that the Texas law is constitutional, the fact of the matter is that what they will decide the fate of, you know, hundreds, thousands, millions of women across the nation. Like, isn't that
Now, I wouldn't put that much weight into it just because we thought the same thing about Roe v. Wade. Never say my V's. When that case turned out the way it did, we thought that would ensure decades, if not centuries, of protection. Where are we now in 2021?
Okay, yeah, I guess that's a good point.
I don't agree with that at all. Women's rights are always threatened. You think we're protected and then we're not. Like, even think, okay, fine, before this Texas thing, a year ago when Amy Coney Barrett got nominated, then we felt the same wave of almost like nausea. Like, oh, here we are again. Right. This is happening time and time and time again. And unless the court like judgment is super explicit, I don't know how cemented any of this will be. Because even if they say the Texas bill is unconstitutional and all the states that are, you know, sort of implementing it, I know it was happening in Tennessee with Marsha Blackburn, and I know she's passing legislation to implement a copycat SB8 bill. Why do I keep saying SB8 bill? It's literally Senate Bill 8, but regardless, you know what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah. I got it.
Where was I going with this? What was I saying before this?
I don't know. I'll give you a chance to catch your thoughts. But go ahead.
Sorry, it was just the thing that it's not so cemented. And even if the court deems something as like, oh, it is unconstitutional, all these other copycat bills get turned over too, how long will it be till our rights are threatened again, especially regarding reproductive control? Like, I'm not that, again, it's super sad and heartbreaking, but it's the reality.
Right. Well, even I think I read an article the other day. It was talking about the actual, you know, the text of Roe v. Wade. And I don't think even Roe v. Wade, I know for a fact it didn't even recognize full autonomy. You know what I mean? Like, it allowed increasing levels of states with regards to restricting the second and third trimester, meaning that basically it's like the government could still actively intervene in women's bodies, in pregnant people's bodies. And so, like, new laws and court rulings in what, the 1980s, 1990s, 2000s, they whittled away slowly at Roe v. Wade, and like they allowed more and more restrictions. And now this is, it almost feels like the crux for now, you know?
That's exactly what I'm saying. Unless they become very, very explicit with their judgment, which they won't because they're all old white people for the most part. I don't, you know what I mean? It's not, that's why I'm not even putting a whole lot of weight into when they go into session and when the bill gets dissected and debated, because I know that no matter how it turns out, I won't be satisfied. And I don't think any menstruating person, any person who can carry a child will be satisfied with whatever court ruling they come up with, because like I said earlier, there's already a conservative supermajority, and even if they decide to be gracious, unfortunately that's the word that I have to use, like when it comes to allowing women control of their own bodies, they have to be gracious or whatever. Even if they do act in that way, I don't think it's going to be so amazing that all of a sudden every woman in the country is protected. I don't think it will. They're just not that radical, whether it's for better or for worse.
Right, exactly. Right. Well, and I forgot what the case was called, but there was a case brought, I believe, like in the, I'm trying to remember. There was, so obviously, as we all know, Indigenous and Latino women, I hope we all know, were, you know, forcibly sterilized, and it, you know, continued into like the late 20th century. And it's just like, I don't even know how to describe the fact that, you know, old white men were ruling that, you know, requirements for, you know, sterilization to work in a workplace, you know, they were ruling that companies don't have to cover the full reproductive service bill as part of basic healthcare. The fact that they're allowing this Texas bill, like, it's all old white men.
I love that this entire, that thus far this entire time, you're just like, it's all this. And you're kind of being sort of surprised. I'm just here like, where have you been?
I'm not surprised. I'm just saying, I'm just stating the obvious.
Well, that's exactly it. It is obvious, unfortunately. Like, you don't even have to go all that back. Even to this day, any time that I need to go out and get pads or tampons
Do you believe it? It's all white men.
Anytime I need to go out and get pads or tampons or whatever it is that's even just slightly feminine related, there's a pink tax. There's literally a tax called the pink tax. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
This entire, like, let me just be done for a minute. And again, I don't need to say anything because, again, it's just very clear and obvious. But that everything, I like to say this a lot, everything is built around the patriarchy. Like, even you can dissect it down to, like, racism and colorism and every other, you know what I mean, white man-created principle can all be whittled down to the patriarchy. It can all be whittled down to the patriarchy. Go ahead.
So I think there was even a a Bollywood movie, and you're gonna be like, what the fuck are you talking about? Listen to me. What was the movie, Kirtana?
Which one? The one where they were like, Beyonce is a black woman, so you're prettier than her?
No! Oh. Not that one. It was about women's, like, empowerment or something with, like, regards to, like, shooting.
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, Sant Kiang, which means, for those of you who don't know Hindi, bullseye. And it was about this rural village in Uttar Pradesh or in Rajasthan, I can't remember, where, you know, these women had to, you know, wear a gungart, a veil, all the time over their faces. And, you know, it's about how they kind of broke out of the oppressive bonds of having to wear it by, you know, going to shooting competitions and then eventually kind of revolting against the sarpanch, the village leader. And so I watched it, and I remember when I was watching it, it was, you know, it was a good movie, good acting. I don't know why I'm giving you a review.
Okay, get to it.
But I'm getting to it. Please, let me finish. Let me finish my movie review, Kirtanam. It was a good movie. I really loved Tapsee Pannu in it, you know. it was great. And then I remember when I was watching it, there was someone else who I talked to later, and they were like, no, I didn't like it. And I was like, oh, was it like you didn't like something about the plot? And they go, well, no, I think that, like, it just, like, made fun of, like, a lot of Hindi traditions.
Oh my God, here we go again.
And I was like, what?
Okay, let me just make it one thing clear, and this is not just about women, but if your traditions, if your culture, if your customs, if your religion includes making women feel like they are less than what a man is, what a stereotypical man is, I don't think it's something you want to be participating in or believing in. And I'm not saying it in the sense of, like, here's another thing. I am, like, always, 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 always try to be super conscious and super supportive of the sort of lifestyles that the women I surround myself with choose. It's absolutely cool if you are happy and it makes you content being the sort of homemaker or the sort of, you know, taking on the matriarchal role, you know, later in life or, you know, in your life right now. And if you're cool with just letting the male head or your husband or, you know, whoever the patriarch in your family being the, if you're cool with him being the breadwinner, that's absolutely cool. Like, there's nothing wrong with like stepping down or being submissive or in that sort of role. But what I am saying is like, that's a lifestyle that you choose. You cannot force other women into a box and be like, you only fit here too. You know what I mean? It should be about encouraging people, encouraging women.
Right.
It's like, there's enough people tearing us down already. Right. For you to also be like, oh my God, you're just going to be a housewife. Like you, why don't you go and get a career? That's so counterproductive. Okay. Yes.
Right. It's, well, yeah. And they were talking about how, like, you know, it's, we're destroying our Hindi samskari values. And I was like, what are you talking about? Like, it's exactly what you said, that thing of like, if that's your traditions, you need to, if those are your traditions, you need to really rethink where you are in your life. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. And if whoever you were talking to was like, oh, that's not how we do it in our house, completely cool. You can't be saying that's not how, you know what I mean? That's not how anyone should do it.
Right. And it was a male. So it wasn't even like, you know, they were saying it from the lens of, this is not what, you know, my mother has taught me, traditional femininity is supposed to be this. It wasn't even that. It was, I don't agree with it because it's not me that I'm saying can't do things, but still, I don't agree with it because it's not traditional. It doesn't go with our values. First of all, what are Hindi values, please? I need to know.
Please explain to me, sir. Please.
What are Hindi values?
You know what I really like about that entire just little anecdote moment that we had that was quite chaotic? The entire time you were saying, you were giving the whole review of the movie and you were explaining, oh, it's this star bunch and it's a lot of constrictive things on women. Yes. And you were talking about how, like, you know what I mean? Women's rights were being all constricted and taken away in that village. And then immediately you were like, it was an amazing movie.
It was an amazing movie because it was about how they stopped doing
it. I know, but that was sort of where you left it at. You left it at, oh yeah, women's rights were being taken away and it was an amazing movie.
Okay, well, let me rephrase, Tripuna, since it wasn't clear to you that I don't enjoy the oppression of women.
Let me
just clear it up.
I'm not you screaming at me.
Let me clear it up.
No,
the movie,
I know.
The movie is, excuse me, please.
You don't need to clear it up. I get what you were saying. I just thought in the moment it was funny. Everyone knows what you mean, Vivek. Just shut up and let's move on.
Fine. Be like that and bully me and harass me and make me cry. It's fine.
Okay.
It's fine.
Okay.
But anyway, yeah, so that was really a strange thing that this person just like randomly came up to me and started sharing about how like it was destroying their Hindi traditions.
It's just, yeah. I also feel like this happens with a lot of, I don't know, whenever I'm going out to a friend, when I'm going out with a friend or something and we're watching a movie together or like some, you know what I mean? Some celebrity will post a picture of themselves on Instagram. All my friends are immediately like, especially if it's a woman, there's like the first ones in line to attack them and be like, I don't like her new aesthetic. I think her dress is ugly. I don't think she's a good actress. Oh my God. How self-important do you have to be to think your opinion matters? It doesn't. Sit down.
Especially when this is a celebrity.
Exactly. Or even if it wasn't, even imagine if it was like some random person that went to our school that you didn't know and they post on social media and they're killing it and they feel confident. And then you have the audacity to say behind their back, oh my God, they look so ugly. Like, why, where is the self-importance coming from? Like, why do you think your opinion is worth saying out loud? It's not valid. Just sit down.
Yeah.
Especially,
yeah. It's not valid. You're not valid. Go die in a hole.
Yeah, especially when it's coming from a male. Like, sit down. Sit down. You're so ugly, sir. I want to gouge my eyes out. You're not in a position to speak. Like,
please. Oh my God, there was this meme I saw once. I think Arya sent it to me about how like there was like this beautiful South Indian girl in like, you know, in the, she was, I think, in a Bharatanatyam dress. And then there was this like crusty Indian man with thinning hair. And Arya goes, how are you gonna be judging her? Like, where are you getting this? Where's this fountain of self-authority?
I know. Honestly, y'all should just, I say this all the time, but like, y'all should just humble yourselves. Like, literally just, I feel like every man needs to have like a day in their life where they just wake up and they realize, I'm just doing too much. I need to stop. I just need to stop and be quiet for a couple of months and maybe the world will get better. I feel like every man needs to wake up and have that realization.
I really thought you were going to say like, every man should wake up and just like die.
No, because I'm not far. We won't go there because I'm going to probably say something that's controversial and then people are going to be like, oh, she's one of those. So it's not worth, it's not worth it to me.
She's an SJW black.
Anyways, getting back on topic, this is like the most, I feel like this is like the most real snapshot of us and our friendship. Mm. I think this is just what we're when we're in our element, but regardless.
This is why Jesus deleted our past recording, Kirtana.
I'm still not into this metaphor.
No.
you
go ahead.
Okay, yeah. Here's another thing that I really wanted to talk about is, I don't know what I wanted to talk about. Vivek, take it away.
Okay. So, since we're talking about, you know, we were talking about abortion and now we kind of gone into, you know, sexism and casual sexism, I feel like, especially when we're pointing out how, you know, these middle-aged, crusty, oily teenage boys are making fun of, you know, these big celebrities and saying, you know, they're not good.
Not them being middle-aged and teenagers simultaneously, but I get you. I get what you mean.
Okay, it's a broad description. Okay.
I know you have something really probably amazing to say, but I was just going to segue this and say something really quick, which is just like, a lot of the times I'll say something like, men are stupid. And then immediately the people around me are quick to correct, not men, boys. And I'm like, no, it's all of them. I don't know what you qualify as a man and what you qualify as a boy. They're all the same. Men are not like exempt from being sexist. You know what I mean? Like,
What is their argument?
I don't understand it, but I get that a lot. Like, whether it's in my Instagram DMs, whether it's in real life conversations, it's not men, it's boys. And I'm like, okay.
I'm really trying my best here. Not men, just, I don't even.
I think it's sort of to say like a man would never be sexist, like a true man. I'm like, you're just promoting like toxic masculinity, but okay.
Jesus, Santa Maria.
This is what I mean. This problem, this issue is so interwoven. It's so interconnected. It's so dimensional. It's like, this is what I mean. Every conversation that you have, it's like, I feel like it's rooted in the patriarchy some way or the other. Like, we can, like, any, like, everyday function that you carry out, something about it is probably misogynistic. I'm just saying, like, it's true, and it's something that, like, even we as women are so programmed to, like, succumb to, like, this constant need of, like, oh, like, you know, like, needing this, like, sort of validation and, like, oh, are we doing okay? Am I speaking too loud? Am I being too quiet? Oh my, like, am I saying the wrong things? It's just too much pressure.
Okay, I have to share with you an article that I read the other day. And I don't know what your reaction is going to be. Because I saw it was one of those articles where there's comments allowed and there was a raging debate and it was about whether, you know, the validity of this claim specifically. And I don't know. I'd like to hear your opinion, Kirtana. So it was an article and it was about this exact thing, how, like, you know, the patriarchy, how sexism, kind of infects everything, right? And how everything is rooted in that. And he was talking about the way men sit.
Manspreading. Oh, my favorite thing. Yes.
Manspreading? I have never heard that term before. Manspreading?
Yeah, it's when, like, never mind. Go ahead with your thing.
You sit like a man? I guess that makes
sense. When you have your, like, legs real wide apart so everyone can just kind of see where your crotch is.
Okay. So, yeah, you learn a new thing every day. I feel so productive.
You're a man. How do you not know what man spreading is? Okay, anyways, go ahead.
Anyway, this article was talking about, it was like, it said, it had a particular line. It was like, the way the teenage boys are sitting at lunch is practically beckoning women to plop themselves down on their lap.
And that's exactly what I'm saying. They literally have their crotch like hanging out, and I'm like, okay. That's the other thing, right? Like, there you go. Like, as women, we're always sort of like knees, like snap your knees together, be a like polite little lady. Right. Why? What does it matter?
Even the like, does it if you matter? Have a dress, sit with your legs closed.
Yeah, I mean, I get it, but I kind of don't. But yeah. That's what I so mean. That again, patriarchy. Okay, yeah. Mm. Is that all? Wait, go ahead. Sorry.
Everything. It infects everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, kind of along, very along the lines of what we were just saying. But yeah, so it was, and then in the comments, you know, there were a lot of people that were saying like, oh, I don't see what this has to do with the issue, or, oh, this is such a small thing. Is this really what women are choosing to fight on? And I was like, there are so many things wrong with what you're saying. First of all, you're saying you're kind of diminishing the point, which is that the point is that the amount of conditioning is so deep, right? That was the point. And then the mm-hmm. second thing is you're saying you're using it to try and discredit, you know, by saying, oh, women, oh, they're all just SJW snowflake, little blue haired liberals. Are you going to go get some oat milk coffee, you blue-haired liberal garbage SJW, you know, like,
oh my God.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and I was like, what did I just spend the last 10 minutes of my life doing, scrolling through these comments, these very unintellectual comments, and ruining my mind? But anyway, yeah, so that was my anecdote.
Yeah, and this goes, like, again, like, that just speaks to the point of mine where I was just saying it's all interconnected. Everything mm-hmm. from the way that, like, we were raised by our own mothers, like, this whole thing of snap your knees mm-hmm. together, whatever, cross your legs like this, like, whatever, all from that mm-hmm. to the man spreading to, like, you know what I mean? It's all these mm-hmm. little things that we... like that happen around us, and then it's to those conversations in school that you have where it's mm-hmm. something like dress code, and then a guy says to you, I don't want to get involved in it, it's political, I'm not a girl, it doesn't really affect me, mm-hmm. to that, and then even going into Congress, into the literal lawmakers of this country, we don't have mm-hmm. like, think of this again, women's rights issue since the beginning of time, since the very, very beginning of time. Mm. We do not have a women's rights standing committee in Congress. Mm. We don't have a women's rights standing committee.
Right.
Like,
we have a committee for everything.
Not for women's rights. And what does that say? Yeah. Again, like, what this is all going towards to is that women at this point in time need a platform and opportunities everywhere that they can get, because we are a minority that's like, we are that one minority that's really, you know what I mean, really breaking boundaries, and you know, it's a rather large minority in compared, like, you know what I mean, it's rather whole. It's rather wholesome mm-hmm. instead of, you know, then being separated into black right. woman, brown woman, Asian woman, white woman. You know what I mean? Woman as a whole, I'm speaking in that sense. We're mm-hmm. breaking down barriers, but yet we're seeing no representation. We're not getting half the platforms or half the opportunities that any other person right. is. That's the bit that's unacceptable. Like, we don't even have a standing committee for women
right.
in Congress. Like, that's what I'm saying. Mm.
Well, and going back to that.
Yes.
Going back to that thing you said about how it's like, oh, I don't want to be political. Oh, it doesn't affect me. Even with our dress code protest, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we, for those of you who are listening who don't happen to go to Alliance with us, there was a protest against the school county, against the county we're in, dress code, and how it was, you know, sexist, how it said basically, you know, the male teachers get to decide what's distracting, what's and why it's distracting, and all that fun stuff. And there was a significant, you know, turnout. You know, there were many people, you know, I won't say like so many, but there were a good chunk of people wearing white.
No. I think there was a really good amount of people considering we were a small school too. Anyways.
And we only had a few days, I guess, to announce it, really. But so, and then afterwards, the one person, the one mutual acquaintance who said, you know, I don't really like to get into politics. I don't like to get into self-expression. And anyway, it's not that bad.
First of all, let me just, again, we say this over and over and over again, it's literally not about you. Again, with the self-importance, sit down. It's not about you.
He was a male, if anyone was confused, which I doubt from listening to this, but yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, that, and also it's like, sure, it may not affect you, but like, you go out, you get a girlfriend. What then? She's getting dress coded. Like, you know what I mean? What about when you grow up and you have a wife? Her body is being controlled by the law. What about then? Does it still not affect you? Like, what about when you go and knock up someone?
It's a very serious thing, but I only chuckled because, you know, you probably know.
I do know, but we won't get into that because we're not.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, but yeah, it's exactly that. It's like, empathy. In fact, I just forgot the definition and you reminded me earlier today. You can't put yourself in someone else's shoes. Like, you can't try to see why this is an issue. Like, are you really that self-important that if it doesn't affect you personally, you're going to be a complete, you know, asshole about it?
Like, but that's the other thing that I'm saying with, like, especially with feminism and the patriarchy. Mm. It does directly affect you, maybe even more so than racism, right. Maybe even more so than, you know what I mean, your socioeconomic status. Because, again, like, women are literally the foundation of society. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's all of this stuff going on about, I think it was even earlier this year, it's like more and more women are choosing to be independent, and they're looking to work into their 40s and not really settle down until they, you know, reach that time period. And by the time they get there, a lot of them are hitting menopause and they can't reproduce. You can't reproduce. You don't have young people to then join the workforce. You don't have more people joining the workforce. The economy collapses. And you get what I mean? Then you just have a growing old age population and they're all retiring. And then, you know what I mean? There's no one to sort of supply their social security benefits. It's all a cycle. So to anyone who's like, it doesn't affect me. Okay, grandpa, hit me up. Hit me up when you're 70 and no one's like, you know, giving you your pension because you're all like, I don't care about women's rights. Like,
is pension what you get when you're 70? I always forget.
Vivek, no. That's not the point.
I know. I'm just curious.
I think so. Yeah.
Is it? Oh, okay. Anyway, yeah, but yeah, it's exactly what you said, which is the, you know, affecting everyone. And that's like what makes it even, you know, doubly, triply, quadruply, whatever, pentuply more frustrating, right? Is that like people just don't or are just not willing to recognize that. Like they'll be like, oh, yeah, yeah, sure. It affects all of us. Yeah, sure. But they don't actually believe it. You know, they'll just move on and they'll move on with their lives. And it, you know, that's apoliticalness is another topic for another day, but
I'm also going to be a little bit mean right now. I'm just going to say it though. It's a little bit mean, but I need to say it, but it's like, I feel like a lot of men forget that, like, if it wasn't for a woman literally carrying them for 9 months, they wouldn't be here. Like, son, sit.
No, I don't think
that's I'd be me. Like, son, sit down. Like, you know, your mom could have easily chosen to, like, abort you, right? She could have easily chosen to abort you. Or no just, one like, wanted you.
Not
no one
you.
Wanted you. Okay, no. Sit down. Not you here and alive because of your mother now. And now you're like, oh, ew, women's rights, ew, women, and, like, you know, sexualizing us. And, like, shut up. Yeah,
I'm entitled.
Like, literally, no one wanted you here. Just sit down.
No, yeah, you weren't providing anything.
Yeah, your mom didn't go through all of that shit. Another woman didn't go through all of that shit to come out, you know, come up with you. Like, that's just gross, and you should be embarrassed of yourself. Sit down. Do us a favor and just, you know, just
die.
Be quiet. Just be quiet.
Not me bringing that up constantly.
I'm sorry. Vivek, do we need to stage an intervention? What is all this talk about death?
Death. Santa Maria. Oh God. Yeah. Well, it's crazy, bro.
Can we also talk about real It's crazy, bro. Can I also talk about real quick, which has like been on my mind since it happened, like just constantly. I think about it like maybe 15 times a day. But it's like the farmers protest last year in India. And do you remember when Rihanna tweeted and all she, okay, again, I don't know if there was a follow-up tweet, but the one tweet that I saw a lot of people reposting was all she said, the only thing that she said is, why are we not talking about this? That's all she said. Why are we not talking about this? She didn't, she wasn't leaning, as far as I know. She, it wasn't like she was, she did not, yeah, she, no, wasn't she did not take any side. She did not take a position. What the very, like, within hours, what were the Indian male politicians doing in India? Burning, please, burning please leave down us alone. Pictures please. Of her, putting up posters of her saying they will rape her. Like, could you imagine? That is how much of a problem men have with women taking agency. Like, she can't even, she's a billionaire. Again, sit down. Sit down. You are not even worth, like.
And it's like, she, exactly what you said. She didn't even say anything.
Exactly. But even if she did say something, that's the way you react. That's the way you react. Right,
no, that would also be, you know, awful. But, like, she did not even, like, not one word was uttered about.
Or even, like, Greta Thunberg. Again, she didn't say anything that was, oh, super radical either. You know what I mean? She just, and also, it made complete sense that it was something that she would speak out about, considering all of her work for climate action and environmental conservation. Like, it absolutely makes sense that she would take a minute to speak out about farmers protesting in India, about agriculture, et cetera, et cetera. Does one thing. Oh, she's like, and she was like 18, I think, 19. People, like, grown men, 40-year-old men in India being like, we're gonna rape her. Like, are you...
What's wrong? What's wrong with you, sir?
Please. I can't even... I don't even want to think about it.
And by the way, if we mention the farmers' protest, it's the, you know, the mainly Punjabi women who carried the protest. You know, who were...
This is what I mean. This is what I mean. Again, I keep saying it. The stakes are 10 times higher with women. We're always the ones that are putting in the work. And we never... We never are acknowledged for our agency. And when we do, it's always in a negative way. It's always, then it goes back to sexualizing us. Yeah. It then goes back to making us feel like we're less than human. It's this whole demoralizing. I can't even begin to explain it.
Right. I have to take a pause in a little bit, but I did want to share the one thing that really irked me today. So someone DM'd me on Instagram, right? I think you can probably think who, and said, I noticed something that gets on my nerves with pro-lifers. Their decision is literally for the most part based on religion. USA has religious freedom and practice in the First Amendment, and abortive bans go against that. And literally all I said was, yup, because there's nothing like, is this a revelation of some sort? Like, what? Like, and then the other thing was, I feel like this person is giving credit to the pro-life, you know, argument, if you could even call it that, by saying that it, for the most part, it's based on religion. I feel like it's an excuse, whereas just saying it's based on what men are saying about women's bodies. Like, you don't need to bring anything into it except for the fact that it's not mainly headed up. The idea was not mainly headed up to control women's bodies by women. It was headed up by men.
Yeah. Imagine if a woman came out and she's like, yeah, I want you white men to make decisions about how, you
Marsha
know, what,
Blackburn.
Yeah, what to do with the fetus that I'm growing in my body, with my organs, with my blood, with my DNA.
Like, and I was irked because I was like, that's what's getting you about this? That's what angers you?
I feel like even at this point, religion is, I feel like it's an excuse that even conservatives are sort of running out of using, employing. Because it's just not good anymore. It's not good enough of an excuse.
No.
Have you seen that thing, and again, this is like a while ago, where the, and I'm not saying this like in a, Satan worshippers. No, they're literally Satan worshippers. It's a satanic cult. But they came out, I think it was, I want to say it was in Arizona. Yeah. I might be wrong. They came, it was in Texas.
Houston.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I thought, yeah. They came out and they were like, no, this is actually against you banning, putting any sort of ban on abortion is actually against our beliefs. it's against our religious beliefs. So there you go. It's like, what is this whole thing of like,
you can justify anything.
What is this whole thing of like, I'm Catholic, so you have to, what? Texas is,
it's like, I could literally say I'm a murderist. I get to go around killing
Texas
whoever I want.
Texas is a minority majority state. It has some of the, you know what I mean? It has one of the greatest, people of color ratios in the entire nation. Not, and a lot of them, you know what I mean? And not all of them are practicing Catholicism or any other sort of conservative religion. You have Hindus, you have other sort of denominations of Christianity, you have Muslims, you have Jews, you have, you know what I mean? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. What are you going on with, especially in a minority majority state, saying something like, oh, my religion, your religion really does not have that much of a voice here.
Well, and is it a minority majority state?
I thought it was Texas, California, and there's two others. I'm pretty sure it is.
I think it is if you don't consider white Hispanics, right?
Oh, maybe.
I think that's it. But yeah, the point still stands that it's, you know, even if it's not like by definition minority majority, it's still technically minority majority.
Yes, it is. According to July 2019, Hawaii, New Mexico, California, Texas, Nevada, and Maryland and the District of Columbia have reached the status of minority majority states. And this was in 2019. Okay. We're now in 2021. So it's been 2 years. So there you go.
That's a long time. I don't know why I said that.
Yeah. And before we wrap this conversation up, like, again, going back to the whole thing of like, yeah, they really are running out of excuses. Here's another like situation that, again, I feel even sort of dumb having to explain it, is it's as simple as, again, people are not going to do what you tell them to do if they don't want to do it. They won't. And I don't know how many, I mean, I at this very moment, I can't think of another example except for the mask mandates, again, just because it's been so prevalent in my mind and in our daily lives in the current moment. But also, again, like I keep saying, people are not going to do what you want them to do if they don't want to do it. Same thing. Like if you force a woman to go through with childbirth, like, okay, great. Then what? You're like, put the kid up for adoption. You put the kid up for adoption. Where do they end up? A broken foster care system. Are we forgetting the nation that we're living in? Like, do they really think that America is some like wonderland where every kid that gets adopted, you know, is actually adopted and gets put into some safe, wonderful, loving home? No, they end up in a foster care system for years on end. Then they're left, you know, to fend for themselves. They have to go out of their way to get an education. That's, you know, worth, an education is so valuable in this country. Like, I feel like if you don't have a degree, you're, you know what I mean? I'm not saying it in terms of like, you won't be able to get a career. I'm more so saying in terms of your social standing, the way that people will look at you, the way that people will consider you if you don't have an education. So you need that. If you don't get, if you don't get any of those opportunities, which you likely won't in a traditional American foster care system, which you likely won't, you'll then end up again in the same place that maybe the person who wanted that, who wanted an abortion because they couldn't support a child financially would have been in. You get what I mean? You end up, a lot of children, unfortunately, end up homeless, in poverty, unable to sustain themselves, unable to then grow and work into and go into the workforce, et cetera, unable to then create a family for themselves. Like, and then these are also the same people like who are like, no, like put the kid up for adoption, whatever, whatever. Obviously they don't care of what happens to that kid after they are born. But also these are the same people who are like the Caitlyn Jenners of the world. Remember when she was doing her campaign and she was like, it saddens me that me and my friends have to drive into Los Angeles day and we just see homeless. No. It's saddening me. I don't want to see homeless people anymore. It's not your option, Caitlyn. What do you want?
What the hell, Caitlyn?
Like it may, what? What? She's all like, I
don't want to see homeless people. Imagine how the homeless people feel.
Yeah.
They don't want to see you. I mean, they don't want to be homeless anymore.
Yeah. It's like as if it's a choice. She's like, I don't want to see them on the street anymore. I wish they would just go away. I'm like,
go away. Get off the streets.
Oh, well, and then you're the same person that's like, oh, anti-abortion, pro-life. You're the kid that you're then forcing for the woman to have. They're going to end up in poverty. And then you're going to say, oh, these homeless people. Like, There's just no argument there, and it's just baseless, and I don't understand it. Or even last time you were saying something about, like, it's not something that you can configure until it happens. Like, imagine if one of the lawmakers in Texas's sons goes off and knocks a girl up. Then what? They're gonna say, oh, my reputation,
right,
like, forces girl to get an abortion. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just
right.
an unjustifiable well, argument.
Yeah. Well, isn't America an unjustifiable argument?
Not your philosophical wrapping up pointless little
bullshit
quips. Just be quiet, Vivek.
Oh gosh.
There's honestly so much more I want to say, and I could go off on a tangent for hours on end, and I don't even think this episode was as eloquent as we wanted it to be. I would like to apologize for the content you missed out on the original episode, but alas, you know, some people are bad with technology.
You know, Vivek. So angry at stuff, and so yes.
Okay. Yes. Well, lastly, I just want to say the AdSense for this episode again is going to Planned Parenthood. Vivek, would you like to wrap it up properly?
Right. Yep. That's yes, that is all we have for you today. Thank you for listening. And like Kirtana said, Planned Parenthood is the recipient. And I guess we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Brought to you by Deekshu Devrasetty for editing, Vanshika Khatwani and Jasmine White for graphics, Puneet Bajwa and Sanj Varyani for socials, and to my wonderful co-host Kirtana for putting up with me.